Good evening. Psalm 80. Two psalms this evening, 80 and 81. Again, two familiar topics. The psalmist is pleading for restoration, for revival, for the Lord to return to them. And then in a way, God answers them in Psalm 81 and tells them, I am ready to do that. Are you willing to listen? So restore, plead to restore, but also God challenges them to listen to him. And those are two things that go together in almost everything we do in the Lord and in almost every part of our walk with the Lord. Of course, restoration means something is dead. It needs to be brought back to life. And for this case, Israel was destroyed, dismantled. The enemies were rejoicing over their downfall. Psalmist, obviously, as anyone should, praise God, please restore us. Please return to us. Please shine your face upon us. God has an answer for a challenge. I can do that. But are you willing to listen to me? Are you willing to walk with me? Or do you just want what I have? So let's read together Psalm 80. To the chief musician, said to the lilies, a testimony of Asaph, a psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come and save us. And there you go again. As I said earlier, restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Give ear, shepherd, the one who leads the sheep to feed. Lord, you're the one who leads us to feed. You are our shepherd. You are our good shepherd. The one who leads us in paths of righteousness, the one who leads us in still waters, in green pastures. You lead us to lay down and relax. You surround us with your goodness. You who lead Joseph, really representative of Israel. You who leads the Israelites and everybody. You who dwell between the cherubim. That was the mercy seat, it was called, in between two winged angels, the cherubim, on top of this box called the Ark of the Covenant. You who sits on your throne, he's saying, stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine upon us. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us. This is almost like a chorus. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And then he goes again. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root and filled it with the land. And it filled the land, rather. The hills were covered with its shadow and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges? So that all who pass by the way pluck a fruit. The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine. Israel is always pictured as a vine, a plant. And the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you have made strong for yourself. It is burnt with fire, it's cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause your face to shine upon us. Four times. Have you counted? In verse 3, in verse 7, in verse 14, verse 19, crying in different languages, in different words. Restore us, return to us, let your face shine upon us, don't be angry at us. Everything is destroyed, the city is ruined. You saved us from the wrath and the slavery of Egypt. You planted us as a vineyard in the promised land. You've caused us to be plucked out by strangers, somebody coming and taking the fruit away, who is not the owner of the vineyard. The beasts have come and eaten the vineyard. We perish, we are burnt up. And we've seen that again in the Psalms, a reflection of the destruction that the Babylonians and the Assyrians did upon Israel, destroying it and burning it up completely. Why are you angry at us, and how long will you be angry, God? We need your restoration. Now, there is this word revival, from the word revive, and it is really a return to truth. It's a return to God. It is a coming back to spiritual life. And we've had series of revivals in history, even within our own region here, the East African Revival in the 1930s. And revival from the book of Acts to the first century, rather second century, to the Middle Ages, to the 1800s in Europe, later on in the US, in America, always happens when people realize that they have gone so far away from the Lord that they are really dead. There's no life. And they want to return to God. And they cry out. Sometimes it starts with just one person who returns to God and influences others and causes just a fire to be burning for the Lord. Sometimes it's a congregation. Sometimes just a group of young Christians who are desiring growth. Sometimes grown-ups just asking God to fire them up again for his cause. And this is the desire of the psalmist. We want to see people return to the truth. We want to see people burn with the righteousness of the Lord. We want to see people burning with zeal. And he makes that initiative in asking the Lord. Now, revival is not just a series of returning to the Lord over the centuries, over the ages. Revival is very personal, because before God causes a revival to happen, he works in people. He works in each one of us. And we can be praying the same prayer of the psalmist, Lord, please restore us. Please revive us. Please burn in our hearts. Cause us to shine forth. Cause us to be influential. Cause us to be those that cause others to be thirsty for you. And that's a good desire. And God obviously would say, yes, I will restore you. I will shine my face upon you. I will show you my favors. I will revive you. You are dead. You are lukewarm. You are cold. I will bring you back to life. You are lost. I'll find you. That is one thing I am so sure that God will say yes to. But most of the time we do not want to go back to the truth, just like these Israelites. It's very easy for God to say, yes, you want to be fired up, all right, here you go. get fired up. But how many want that? A lot of people just want to stay where they are. They want to be lukewarm. They want to be comfortable. They want to be low. They want to be unchanging. They don't want to grow up. And for a Christian who does not want to grow up, actually is a Christian who wants to go backwards. Because in our Christian walk, we have to keep growing. It's called a walk, right? It's not simply standing in one place. It is making progress towards the Lord. It is growing into Christ-likeness every day. And it's a sad thing for some to choose just to stay in one place. Lord, just bless me where I am. Just cause me to prosper where I am. Just show me your favors where I am. I just want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to change. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. I just want to see your goodness. When we pray such a prayer, of course, with the fact that everything's destroyed, we need to be ready to be moved by God. We need to be ready to actually be at the front of that restoration or that revival. And God is looking for such people. And as the psalmist here is praying, God, there's no medicine in the hospitals, the politics is bad, the city is destroyed, we don't have any roads, the roads are full of potholes. There's a gentleman who walked in my office earlier today, and he had one of his sons involved in an accident, and he had multiple fractures. And this has never happened to him. He obviously assumes that treatment is supposedly free in Mulago Hospital, so that's where they end up, and they don't get any medical attention for over 24 hours. Now, you can imagine somebody who is fractured, multiple hand and limb fractures, not getting any medical attention for over 24 hours. So I think it was along Masaka Road, and they first take this boy to somewhere in Nabingo. There's, I think, a health center, which did not even have power. So they run off. They say, you know what? We have to rush off to Mulago, and this boy is there for over 24 hours, not even a painkiller. And as the psalmist was thinking about his own country, literally Israel, destroyed, we can't be thinking about our own. So many things are devastated and destroyed and not working. And we are in a rightful place to pray for revival. The campaigns are going on. Everybody wants to become the person who brings change. Everybody promises change. But is that true? Is that real? Will that happen? And that should cause us to pray, God, if we have run away from you, if our leaders have run away from you, please cause them to return to you. Please cause them to return to truth. Cause them to return to service. Maybe they're there just serving themselves and their own interests, and only you, Lord, can cause them to return to you. How about some people you know of who once walked with the Lord, but they're dead? No zeal to come to church anymore. No zeal to read the Bible anymore. They're completely lost. We still stand in the rightful place to pray that God would return them, that God would restore them, that God would revive them, that God would shine his face upon them. How about you? We can think about the broken things in this country. We can think about the broken people, the dead people, the backslidden Christians. How about you? Are you growing? Are you progressing? Are you moving on? Are you growing closer to the Lord? Are you, even in your own personal assessment, more Christ-like than you were last year? Or are you, you know what, I'll just stay here and be the same. In Psalm 51, verse 12, David was praying, and this is a man who had fallen into sin. Let's say David had backslidden. He had sinned, had tried to cover up his sins, and in the process sinned some more until he's confronted. Until God sends him a prophet and confronts him with his sinfulness. And David, in that state, cried for so many things. And one of the things he cried for was the restoration of his joy. In Psalm 51, verse 12, he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." There is so much joy that we get when we get saved. We get so excited, so happy. The relief of being forgiven, the guilt being washed away, our sins cleared, just causes us to be happy, to be full of not just happiness, joy. Inner happiness. And when David fell into sin, the joy of his salvation also fell. The excitement of his obedience to God also fell. And that's what sin does, isn't it? When we fall to sin, what happens? A smiley face becomes sad. An excited person becomes low. An energetic Christian almost withdraws. Somebody who is at the forefront of ministry now starts to hide. That's what David did. He was trying to hide from his sins and from the Lord himself. That's what Adam did. He disobeyed the Lord and he went out hiding. He doesn't want to be seen. We do that all the time. And when that happens, you know, so much within our Christianity actually also fails. We lose zeal for so much. The person who used to come for prayer service doesn't show up anymore. The person who used to go up to tell others about Jesus Christ doesn't go up anymore. The person who used to come and volunteer at church, doing whatever it is, they don't show up anymore. And in that situation, we need to be asking God to restore whatever has been lost. Restoring, obviously, the relationship. Because when we sin against God, our relationship with Him is hindered. Our communication with Him is hindered. And that needs to be restored. That bridge has to be renovated. That line has to be reopened. Lord, restore us. Restore our joy. Restore our peace and restore everything we've lost. Restore our life. We've been dead. Bring us back to life again. And in Psalm 81, the psalmist writes in a way speaking on God's behalf. So he is the one asking these questions. He is the one writing down these prayers. And in Psalm 81, he writes as if God is the one speaking directly to the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of Asaph. "Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to God, the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with a lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day. For this is the statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I had a language I did not understand. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah." So God has an answer. In excitement, he first calls on people to praise the Lord. Pick up your guitars, pick up your flutes, pick up your string instrument. It's time to rejoice at this festival. So this is one of the festivals that God instructed them to observe. We do not know exactly which one. But it was time for a new moon. So accompanied by the celebration of the festival, whatever it is, whether it was Passover or the Feast of Dedication or the Feast of Tabernacles, tents, the Feast of First Fruits, the new moon was up there. Now, if you live outside the city, maybe sometimes when there's a blackout and the moon is out, a new moon is out, it brings so much light in darkness. It brings so much light where there's no meme. Maybe it's better even in the villages where there's no light throughout the village, but the moon is bright. They would celebrate a new moon. Can you imagine celebrating something as simple? We can take it for granted as a new moon. It's out. That's why the Muslims, you know, they celebrate their feasts when the moon is out, the new moon, kind of a twist to what the Jews used to do. But the new moon is out. It's time to stay late into the night, right? When the moon disappeared before the new one, everybody goes to bed at 7. You can't see anything past 7. You have to move around with the lamp. But now we can sit outside and talk and fellowship and stay late. And we can play some music too. This is a law. This is a statute to Israel, the law of the God of Jacob, to observe those feasts. And he remembers what God did. He established Joseph as a testimony. Remember the story of Joseph from a teenager in Israel under his father's care to a prisoner, to a slave, to a prime minister, to a level of bringing his family over to Egypt and saving them and the whole known world from famine. He established Joseph as a testimony when he went through the land of Egypt, where I had a language I did not understand. And God says, I removed his shoulder from the burden. So now God speaks. He said, you were in Egypt, so burden, and I removed that burden. I removed and freed your hands from those baskets, from slavery. You called me in trouble, and I delivered you. I got you out of Egypt. We've seen that. I answered you in the sacred place of thunder. I tested you in the waters of Meribah, the bitter waters. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you listen to me. There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. So God said, all right, you guys are praying for revival. You're praying for restoration. You're praying that I return to you, that I shine my face upon you. But remember how we've walked since the days of Joseph, how you ended up in slavery. Remember how you pleaded to be freed. And I got you out of slavery. I tested you. I tried you. Some passed the test, some failed the test. And God says, only if you had listened to me. You didn't want to hear what I had to say. You just wanted what I had to give. You wanted freedom. You wanted water. You wanted shoes. You wanted clothes. You wanted houses. But you did not want me. Did you read there? Israel wouldn't have none of me. They didn't want me at all. Now you can imagine a helpless country, a helpless nation, traveling from slavery to safety, and they don't need God to help them. And sometimes you're that way. We get ourselves in trouble. We obviously cannot get out of the trouble ourselves. And instead of desiring God, we just want to get out of the trouble. It's like, God, we don't want you. We just want to get out of the trouble. Sometimes you get hard pressed. And we only want to hear what our ears want to hear. We don't want to hear what God has to say. Sometimes we have our own plans. Lord, my plan for 2016, until starting to make plans for 2016, this is what I want to do in 2016. And this is what I want. And I want it so much that, God, I honestly don't need you. I just want the thing, whatever it is. And God says to them, you wanted me, but you didn't want me at the same time. You wanted my help, but you didn't want me. Do you want to listen to me? Do you want me to give you instructions? Now, for any Christian, it's God who leads us. It's God who speaks to us. It's God who fills us with wisdom. It's God who keeps us. It's God who gives us everything we need. And it's tragic when we want whatever I want, but we do not want God. It is sad. It's tragic. It's dangerous. It is disaster. To want freedom, but you do not want the person who has the freedom. Hear, O my people. You had false gods. If you were hungry, I would have filled you with satisfaction. I would have caused you to open your mouth for me to satisfy. You know what they wanted? The food they were eating in Egypt. The leeks, the onions, the fish, the chocolates. They did not want food from heaven. Angels' food. We saw that last week. And God says, my people never wanted to listen to me. They wanted revival. We almost every day pray for revival in this country, in this world. But do we want to hear what God has to say? Sometimes no. God give us revival and God says, all right, if you want revival, you need to do A, B, C. And we're thinking, God, no. We won't do that. We just want revival. You would not listen to me. You wanted nothing to do with me. Or that my people would listen twice. God is sad that his people would not listen to him. That Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue the enemies and turn my hand against the adversaries. And he said to them, if you had listened to me, my ways, my truth, instead of water from the rock, this was what? Honey from the rock. Not just water. Twice he caused them to drink water from the rock, and God said, I would have given you honey instead, which is better. Water or honey? Honey is better. Gives you instant blood sugars and it's nutritious. Water will just quench your thirst. I wanted to give you strength. In fact, in some places, he told them, I'm leading you to the land flowing with milk and honey. I'm not taking you to land that just has water, the Jordan. It also has milk and honey. It's fruitful. It's nutritious. But what are you settling for? Water. Sometimes we settle for less because we don't listen to the Lord. We settle for less because we don't want to listen to him. I would have destroyed your enemies. I would have subdued them. I would have rebuilt your city. I would have restored you only if you had listened to me. And as we think about our own country, we think about other fallen Christians, the first thing we should do is think about ourselves. And God is sending out this word to somebody here who just wants to be revived, but does not want God. Who just wants something from God, but does not want him. Who does not want to listen to the Lord. I do not know how many times I talk to people about something that they already know, and they honestly do not want to listen. You tell them, you know what, you're taking a wrong direction. And, yeah, I know. Do you want to change? Let me try. Let me try going the same direction. You are doing something wrong. I know. It's interesting that people know the truth. I know, Pastor, but let me try it. Maybe it will work. It's not going to work. It's contrary to God. You are offending somebody. I know. Would you please repent? No. I don't like them. I cannot talk to them. And the results are disastrous. And sometimes, as a person in that place of just giving advice, it is grieving to see somebody deliberately make a wrong decision. To see somebody want something from God but does not want God. Because you know it's not going to work. There's no way you can want something from God yet run away from Him. We all know this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So many Christians are praying for the healing of our land, but they're not seeking God's face. They're not turning away from their wicked ways. They are not prayerful. Lord, just heal. We just want one thing. Heal our land. They do not want to humble themselves. They do not want to seek God's face, to listen to what He has to say. They don't want to turn away from their wicked ways. But they're basically saying, God, just heal us. Just heal our land. Just heal me. The failure or the state, the terrible state of Israel was because of sin. And for them to be restored and revived and see God's smiling face, there had to be repentance. There had to be change. You cannot continue in the direction of sin and think something better is going to come out. There has to be repentance. There has to be commitment to change. There has to be apologies to be made. Forgive, Lord. We are sorry we have offended you. Reminds me of Nehemiah when he was returning to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. He prayed, and in his prayer, he asked God to forgive them, him inclusive, because they had run away from His truth. They had ended up in exile and bondage because they were disobedient to Him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. I have a few things that I've said to you in my word, and please show that you love me by obeying them. Show that you want me by listening to what I have to say first." I pray that each one of us would make that initiative of desiring God, not just what He has, of desiring restoration and revival, and it starts with self. Before we ask God to revive this country, to give us better leaders, to give us better administrators, to cause everything to flourish, to boost our economy, do we listen to what He has to say? I don't know if you followed news last month, I think, the Zambian president organized a whole day, I think it was a public call, a day of prayer. They were praying for their money, for their currency, for their economy. And that's very natural. When people are hard-pressed, they turn to prayer, right? They obviously know they should be praying. But are they really looking to change and say, you know what, we're not just praying for our economy to recover or our currency to gain its strength. We just want to run away from wickedness. We just want to run away from evil. We just want to stay close to the Lord. It's very easy to ask for temporary relief, but it makes more sense to actually desire God Himself, because that's where the answer is. That's the person who has all the answers to all our problems. As the psalmist calls people to worship, as we're celebrating that festival, he's calling for renewal, he's calling for recommitment, he's calling for return to the Lord. And not just a temporary one because of the troubles they were going through, but a genuine and a long-lasting one. Maybe you're going through a very dry season, very confusing season, very difficult season, and you obviously know that God has the answer. Don't just look for the relief, the temporary relief, the temporary change of season. Look for God. Look for honey from a rock. Don't just look for water. Don't look for temporary refreshment. And it can be there. You can get temporary refreshment if you want to. But look for a long-term, strong, tight relationship with God. Because we always go through cycles of difficulties, from one to another all the time. And if you're looking for just a temporary relief, God will give you a painkiller. All right, just want the pain to be relieved. All right, the pain is gone. But are you looking for complete spiritual health? If we love God, if we love Him, if we want Him, if we want restoration, if we want revival, we want Him to return to us, we want Him to smile upon us, Christians, let's listen to Him. Let's listen to His voice. He has a lot to say in very clear and precise ways. And we do well to listen. And whatever we go through, there's only one voice that we should desire to hear. It is God's voice. Not just His hand, not just His pocket, not just His healing, His voice. What does God want to say to me through this? What is God teaching me? What is He saying? What have I forgotten that I need to remember? Where have I lost my path and I need to return? Where am I actually? What am I going through? Do you know where you are in the Lord? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what He's doing with you? Maybe you need to look and find exactly where that is so that you can return and walk properly again. He obviously will speak directly from His word. He may speak through other people. And the most problems that follow as a result of not listening is actually not listening. There's a sign waving at you, please stop, please stop. Like, you know what? I don't want to know. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. God wants the best for us. God wants to give us honey instead of water. He wants to give us wholeness of health, not just temporary relief. He wants to give us wholeness of truth, not just bits of it. He wants to give us so much, not just a little that we ask for, that we desire. Maybe you've lost so much. Maybe you should ask people, how has this year gone? And people will tell you, man, this has been the worst year ever. Maybe the best year ever. But we all need to desire a continuous restoration, a continuous revival, a continuous return, a continuous experience of the grace of God. Just seeing His face shine upon us. And secondly, we need to listen. Our ears have to be attentive to what the Spirit is saying. You read the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, the letters to the churches. To every church, listen. Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Are you listening to the Lord? What is He saying to you? We have our own minds, we have our opinions, we have our own plans, but are we listening to what God has to say? And if we heed His voice, I can guarantee you, He has so much for us. So much we can't even imagine. If we have ears, what are they for? Listening. And if we listen to God's voice, He says, keep my commandments. I read a story of a young man stuck on a branch near a cliff. Have you heard that story? He's holding on to this branch. He obviously knows this is not going to help. And he shouts, is anyone out there? I need help. Three times. And three times he had a voice. Just let go of the branch. I will hold you. And then the fourth time he's like, is anybody else out there? He had a voice telling him, you know, just release the branch, I'll hold you. And then he's not sure. He wants something else. Is anybody else out there? We're all like that. I read another story of a young lady who wanted to get married. And she went out on a hill, went up on a hill to pray. And she was praying and she was praying. God, I need a husband and blah, blah, blah. There was a parrot nearby. And this parrot had been trained to just say who, to just mimic who. And then as she paused in her prayer, she heard the parrot. She didn't know it was a parrot. The parrot was like, who, who, who? And you know what she said? Anyone, Lord, anyone, Lord, anyone, Lord. Just send anyone. No, just send one. And then we get the point. Whatever God tells us to do, we need to be listening. And it's often very clear. I was talking to a group of people in another organization about spiritual warfare and really listening to God's voice in the process. And most of the time, if not all the time, God is very clear. He says, stop. But what happens? We start questioning His voice, right? Is that the Lord? And normally we question His voice to discredit it because we know it's His voice. And that's what the enemy does. He also questions God's word, doesn't he? Has God told you to obey Him? Really? And we know from truth that God says, obey. But we're thinking, all right, what is obedience now? All right? We start rationalizing our decisions. Is it okay? Is it not okay? Is this too short? Is it too long? Is this, you know? And whenever we find ourselves trying to debate, you know you're on the wrong side of the coin. Right? If you go to dress up and you get out and ask people, is this too short? You obviously know it's too short, right? You just want people to flatter you. Oh, don't worry, it's not too short. It's okay. You go, is this wrong, Pastor? Can I do this and still be a Christian? You obviously know you cannot. It's not okay for you to do whatever it is. But we try to rationalize even the clear voice that we hear. But we should be those who listen and act upon what we listen to in obedience. Yes, that's what God says, and I will do it. No, that's not the truth. I'll dump it. Don't try to even play around with the truth and try to water it down and try to look for the lowest common denominator. How far can I go? Whatever it is. When God says something, it's normally very clear, and we need to act. The moment we stay there thinking, all right, that is clear, but, no, you're actually tilting towards disobedience and it's consequential. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, what should we do? Obey his commands. Amen? Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, we desire to be restored. We desire to see revival, Lord. We desire to see our country, our leaders, our families and friends return to you. We desire to see a massive move of your spirit in this church, in this city, Lord, in this country. We desire to see your hand lighting up hearts for righteousness, O God. For missions, Lord, for evangelism, for worship, for obedience to you. Lord, it starts with us. And everything is in pieces because we don't listen to you and many others. We act contrary to your commands. We disobey you, O God. And we often just want temporary relief, Lord, far from you. And yet we should desire you the most, because you are the source, the giver of everything. Everything good comes from you, God. Lord, I pray that you may revive us every day. Re-energize us every day, Lord. May you rekindle our fire and passion for you every day. Lord, when we fail, Lord, may we return to you, Lord. May we repent and run to you. May we humble ourselves. May we forsake wickedness and pursue you, O God. And that's when you will heal us and heal our land and heal our bodies and heal all broken hearts, oh God. Broken relationships, oh God. Broken plans. Lord, we want to be those who listen to you, God, because you are so faithful to speak to us. Lord, in whatever downfall we go through, Lord, you're always there to say something to us and to pick us up. And Lord, we want to listen to your voice and to get up and to follow you, Lord. So Jesus, help us be sensitive to what you have to say. It's for our good, O God. But we want to pray for not only our revival, but the revival of many. Those who have run away from you, Lord. Those who have been deceived by the enemy. Those who are caught up pursuing materialism, O God. May you cause them to thirst and hunger for your honey, your milk and honey, not just water that they're chasing after. Lead us to glorify you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.